Well, we're joined with Herbert Ray and welcome everybody out, especially those who are visiting. We're glad that you've come and just good to see each and every one, and certainly thankful that Gadleth has been able to be back with us and prayers have been answered. And always those who've been sick and able to get back, it just, you know, when you're sick and you get knocked out of coming, it's a great privilege that's taken away. And we never know what can strike us down in life to take away the privilege. And so we hope that we'll always take advantage of every opportunity to assemble and to worship. And so we invite you to get your Bibles and open to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We began our study there this morning. It says in verse 13, "Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered and beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For yet he was full on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in a gall of bitterness and in a bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of those things which you have spoken come upon me. In particular, I want to look there at verse 20 in the phrase where Peter, after Simon the sorcerer, saw the apostles laying on hands and being able to impart these miraculous powers of the Holy Spirit. And Simon beforehand, who had been a sorcerer, had bewitched the people, going, Boy, this is pretty nifty. I'd kind of like to have that power. And maybe he thought, I don't know if he was thinking maybe he could make money from it, or he just liked the novelty of it, or whatever. He says, Well, you know, I'll pay you. If you'll give me this power, then I'll be able to do that. He's offering them money. And Peter says, No, it cannot be purchased with money. What's transpiring in these events? It's not for sale. And there's no amount of money that you're going to be able to give to get it. It's just not that way. And that's kind of our thinking here this morning that we want to study about. Is to talk about some things that, well, the scriptures say, and of course we all know, of some things money can buy. And then we're going to look at the flip side, things that money can't buy. Alright, first of all, let's talk about some things that money can buy. Alright, we learn over there in the book of Matthew, chapter 13 and verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to the treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and sells all that he has and buys that field. So you can buy a field with money. Some of the guys were out there talking about this fellow's place that was up for auction. Want to know who bought the place? Well, if you have the money and you were the last one in the auction to give the high price, you can buy a field. You can buy a property. You can buy a parcel of land. You can buy all kinds of things with money, such as a field. In the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 13, James says, Go to now, ye that say, Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. If you've ever gone to any of the big cities, you'll find street vendors. And maybe they buy Cokes and water, bottles of water, or gum, or something like that. And they, at the intersections, they stand there trying to peddle and sell these things. They buy it, they sell it for a little bit higher price, and make money. All kinds of material goods that you can buy and sell. Or just buy if you want it. You can buy all kinds of items. I mean, just go to Walmart's. I mean, there's a gazillion things you can buy at Walmart. It's everywhere. That's Walmart for any any city dudes, I don't know kick language. In the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus says, labor not for the meat or the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. All right, we can work and buy food. Go to restaurants and buy food. You can go to all kinds of grocery stores and buy food. You can go up here to the Quail Grocery, B&L, and buy food. I mean, you can buy food galore. Money can buy that. Money can buy a field. Money can buy all kinds of material goods, TVs, whatever it might be. Household items. Money can buy food, prepared food, or food you can prepare yourself. We learn in Matthew chapter 20 that money can buy you some work. If you need work done around your house, around your yard, we read there about the parable of the vineyard. The guy needed some work done in his vineyard. So he's going out there and he says, hey, I need some workers. And this fellow says, okay, I'll work. Or anybody else? Okay, yeah, you come to work. I need you to work on my place. And here's the price I'm going to pay. And didn't get enough workers, so he's back again at noon. And then late in the afternoon, always hired workers. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you need some work done, you can find people and pay people with money, and you can get it done. Might need a yard mower, might need a ditch dug, might need some cleaning around the outside of the house, whatever it might be. Money can buy you some work to be done on your house, on your car, whatever it might be. Sometimes preachers can be bought, sad to say. But that's what Paul so declares. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. Having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Sometimes there are people that don't like sound doctrine, and in order to get the doctrine, the teaching that they want to hear is that they'll pay somebody that will preach it the way they want it. And that's sad, but that sometimes happens in the world that we live in. Money can buy preachers sometimes. Sometimes elders can be bought. Over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, and 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3, as Peter is here talking about the elders, the bishops, the overseers, the pastors, he says there in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. Filthy lucre is dirty money, but of a ready mind. Sometimes elders can be bought with a price. And that's certainly not good either, but it can be done at times. And something else that we read about the scriptures that one can buy. You can buy sexual favors. Sexual rendezvous. There in the book of Luke chapter 15, in the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son took his inheritance, went to the far country, and wasted it in riotous living. And according to the older brother there, he says, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, prostitutes, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Well, that can be purchased. Many places, escort services, and such things as that. So, we read in the scripture, there's lots of things money can buy. But as we saw in our text, there's something money cannot buy. Some things money cannot buy. Well, as we see in our text there in Acts chapter 8, the gift of God, the ability to impart these miraculous spiritual gifts, and the gifts themselves emanated from God, and they could not be purchased with money. That's what we see there in verse 19. When Simon's there, laying on of hands, and the Holy Spirit is given to these people, he's offering them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. You have neither part nor lot. You wasn't selected to be involved in the impartation of spiritual gifts. There's not going to be the casting of lots to say, well, we're going to have to solicit some more people, and we're out at the fair where we're just going to cast lots. We're just going to put everybody's name in the pot. We're just going to draw names to select somebody else to be involved in the impartation of these miraculous spiritual powers of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't going to happen. You have neither part nor lot. You cannot buy this power. You cannot buy the gift of God. It was the gift of God in the miraculous power. It was the gift of God. It wasn't that Peter said, hey, Jesus, wait, you know, I'll be an apostle. Hey, take me. I want to enlist and be one of the apostles. Jesus is the one that made the decision. It was His decision to bestow the gift of those who would serve as apostles and therefore have the power to impart the spiritual gifts. It could not be bought with money. Some other things. You can't buy love with money. The Beatles, they had the song back in the 60s, money can't buy your love. Well, they were exactly right. You can't buy your love. You can't buy love. Love emanates from one's heart. God loves us, but we don't buy it. There in Acts chapter 17, there and verse 25, it says, neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. God doesn't need anything. He loves us because He chooses to love us, and we can respond to that love. But money can't buy you love. It can't buy you the gift of God. May I suggest something else that money cannot buy? It cannot buy you happiness and joy. In Philippians 4 and in verse 4. In Philippians 4 and verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. He didn't say, rejoice in money always, and again I say rejoice. That's not where happiness and true joy of heart emanates from. Money cannot buy you happiness and joy. You know, you read in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 25, what we call the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are the meek. And the word blessed carries the idea of happiness. This inward happiness. Where he says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they that have money. Whoa, that one's not in there. That's not there. There's an old beatitude in the Scripture that says, blessed are they that have plenty of money. It's not there. You can have plenty of money and be happy, and you can have no money and be happy. Money is not the issue. Money is not the key to happiness. True happiness and true joy is only found in the Lord. And we deceive ourselves thinking that somehow, you know, if I just had, and we'll just name something, that somewhere along the line, if I have this or have so many dollars, well, then I'm going to be happy. It's not true. We're only being self-deceived. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, there in verse 17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, don't be arrogant, don't be puffed up, nor trust in uncertain riches. And that's what you have to say about money. It is an uncertain rich, part of the uncertain riches of this world. It can be here today, and it can be gone tomorrow. But you trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. It ain't intrinsically wrong with money. No money is neither here nor there. It's an inanimate object. It's simply a medium of exchange to get something accomplished. We can have money and be happy. We can have no money and be happy. Our happiness is tied in with being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of serving God. Having right attitude about this world. Money cannot buy you joy and happiness. Joy and happiness comes from having the divine perspective. I mean, you could have a ton of money, but if you didn't enjoy the beautiful sunset, what good did it do you? Your money didn't help you to enjoy a beautiful sunset. You could be in the position of not having a dime to your name, but you can enjoy the beautiful sunset and admire that and to see the hand of God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, money cannot buy happiness and joy. Money can't buy your love. And money can't buy the gift of God. May I suggest something else? Money cannot buy health. Oh, you can get vitamins and health foods and doctor and nursing services, hospital services. You can buy all kinds of things along that line, but it's not really going to buy you health. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." The outward man is perishing. That inevitably happens to all of us. If we live long enough, just write it down, health will decline, and ultimately it will be unstoppable when it comes to the war of life and death. We're all going to be losers. We might win a battle here, we might have some heart problems, get our heart worked on, and we're a little better. We have this disease, and we beat it down, and we win for a while. But in the ultimate war of life and death, all of us will be losers, and money cannot buy you health. There are plenty of people in the world that's got plenty of money, and they have serious diseases, but they can't buy their health back. It's not going to happen. Money cannot buy health. Money cannot buy friends. True friends. You might buy some fair weather, quote, friend, but not a true friend. In Proverbs 17:17, it says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Notice in Proverbs chapter 27 there, and verse 6, it says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Ladies and gentlemen, a true friend cannot be bought. They'll be there in thick and thin, up and down. Good times and bad times, a true, genuine friend will be there because they have chosen to be your friend. And it emanates from their character, not what you are paying them or what they're going to get out of it, but because they are a friend. True friends cannot be bought with money. May we suggest something else? The faithful men, those who preach and teach, and those who are leaders, elders, deacons, those types of good men in the church are not going to be bought with money. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in verse 5, Paul says, "For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness." When Paul came among the Thessalonians, as he is describing here in the second chapter, he recognized that he had a sacred trust. As he says in verse 4, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel." It was a sacred trust, and we came and fulfilled that sacred trust to do what? To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we didn't come with flattering words to try to win adulation and to try to be bought. We were not for sale. We're going to come and say what's right and what's true. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 there, in verses 14 and 15, Paul says, "Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children are not to lay up for the parent, but the parent for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." And the lesson to be learned is that Paul wasn't for sale. You couldn't buy Paul. He wasn't for sale. Faithful men who are in leadership, whether in teaching or preaching or as elders or whatever it might be, are not going to be bought. You cannot buy faithful men. You cannot buy a friend. You cannot buy health. You cannot buy happiness and joy. You cannot buy love, and you cannot buy the gift of God. May I suggest something else that you cannot buy with money? No matter how big a pile of money you got, you're not going to buy salvation. It's not for sale. We don't have the price to pay. in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, it says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God." In 1 Peter chapter 1 there, verses 18 and 19, Peter says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed." We were not bought back with corruptible things of silver and gold. We weren't bought back with money from your vain manner of life received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Money cannot buy salvation. It took the precious blood of Jesus Christ to buy our salvation, to buy our redemption. You cannot buy salvation. It's not for sale. We don't have, money's not going to do it. What it took was the blood of Christ, and we didn't have that. But Jesus came and died in our stead that we could enjoy salvation. Jesus paid the price. We didn't pay the price. Our money couldn't buy it. And there's something else that money cannot buy. It cannot buy a home in heaven. If you got enough money, you can buy you a house right there on the Atlantic coast and get you a beautiful ocean view. Or you can go over to the Pacific coast and get you a nice ocean view house. You can buy a house there. But I tell you what, you're not going to buy a home in heaven. The mansions in heaven are not for sale. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2 there, in Ephesians chapter 2, and there in verse 8, Paul says, "For the grace of God, that for you are saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And then in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 23, Paul says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Eternal life, a home in heaven. It is the gift of God. You can't buy the gifts of God. It's not going to happen. You can't buy a home in heaven. You can't say, "Well, now let's see, I'll give $6.2 million for a home in heaven." Nope, it's going to happen. If you're somebody like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates and had billions, you can't say, "Well, I'll give $3 billion for a home in heaven." That's going to happen. You can't buy a home in heaven. Money cannot buy a home in heaven. It cannot buy our salvation. It cannot buy faithful men. It cannot buy your friend. It's not going to buy your health. It's not going to buy your happiness and joy. It will not buy your love. And it cannot buy the gift of God. And one last thing that we may suggest that money cannot buy. You cannot buy the Lord off. The old saying is, "Well, everybody has their price." Well, a lot of people could be bought off with the right price. You put the right dollar figure on there, you can buy people off. There have been a lot of people bought off through the centuries. Kings have been bought off. Judges have been bought off. I mean, all kinds of people to get results that you want with the right price. I'll tell you what, you can't buy God off. It's not going to happen. In the book of Acts chapter 10, in Acts chapter 10, in verses 34 and 35, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." God is not a respecter of persons. There's no prejudice, partiality. You're not going to buy him off. As we saw there in Acts chapter 17 and in verse 25, Acts 17 and verse 25, "Neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things." I mean, how would we think that we could buy God off? There may be some judge, you've got some problems, and maybe you buy a fancy lawyer or pay off a politician to get things done the way you want it done with the right price. But what are we going to have? Lord doesn't need anything. It's really hard to be persuasive when somebody doesn't have need. Now somebody has a need. So, here's a little of, let me throw out these dollars and let me throw out a figure for you. I might consider that. But God doesn't have need of anybody. He doesn't need need. In fact, he owns everything. How do we think that we can buy the Lord off with any price? It's not going to happen. Money cannot buy the Lord off. Money cannot buy a home in heaven. Money cannot buy salvation. Money cannot buy faithful men. Money cannot buy friends. Money cannot buy health. Money cannot buy happiness and joy. Money cannot buy love. And money cannot buy the gift of God. A home in heaven is the gift of God. Salvation, it is by the divine grace, divine favor that is made possible. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We can't merit it. But I tell you what, if we come in belief and obedience to the gospel, we can have a home in heaven. We can have salvation. And we can enjoy the love of God. And we can find happiness and joy. And we can find spiritual health. If we become a Christian, it's not going to stop the aging process and the getting sick and death. That's going to come regardless. It's going to happen, but the inward man can be renewed day by day, as we saw in our text there. So the question is, would you want to enjoy all these great blessings, the great blessings of a home in heaven, of salvation, of having friends in the Lord, of having spiritual health, happiness and joy, to enjoy the love of God, and to have God on your side? He will accept those who fear Him and work righteousness. If there's one here, money can't buy these great blessings, but you can have them through faith and obedience. God's going to give them. He's going to give you a home in heaven. How? Well, by believing in Jesus and stepping out and obeying His will. We have a plan of salvation revealed in the Scriptures. We have in the Word of the Lord how to find the gift of salvation. And ultimately, the gift of eternal life. And how does it come? Well, it comes first by hearing the gospel of Christ. Acts 18 and verse 8. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believe, and were baptized. It began with hearing. And then upon hearing the gospel, the Lord believed in Jesus Christ. Acts 16 and verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul told the Philippian jailer there in Acts 16 and verse 31. And not only him, but all that were in his house, his family. We need to repent and turn to God. Acts 17 and verse 30. God commands all men everywhere to repent. That takes us in. We're to confess Jesus before men, as we see there in Acts 8, verse 37, when the eunuch said, "Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then we must be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, immersed in water for forgiveness. Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so these are the steps that we see that are outlined in the Scripture for us to enjoy the gift of salvation and gets us on the road that leads us to the gift of eternal life. We must cleave to the Lord. That's what Barnabas exhorted the brethren there. Cleave to the Lord. Stay with Him. Just follow Jesus. And if we err from the truth, as we saw in our text in Acts chapter 8, when Simon, who had obeyed these first principles and fell in sin, the second law of pardon is to repent and ask God for forgiveness. We're going to sing this song, dear encouragement. If there's one here that does not have the gift of salvation, you can have the gift of salvation even this morning by stepping out on the promise and the teachings of God in faith and obedience. And if we can help you to that end and we can assist you, come and let us know and express your desires. While together as we stand and as we sing.